Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our show, It's Time to Awake. On this show, there will be various topics presented, examined, and explained with an emphasis on the Word of God and the doctrine of repentance through His Son, Christ. Romans 13 and 11, and that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. We hope that you may be edified by the word of God through Christ. Shalom.
Brothers and sisters from the Body of Christ Church, we're going to go over some scriptures today, and the topic I want to deal with today is dealing with provoking the Lord to anger. A lot of, reason why I feel that the subject we should touch, because a lot of people, because of their sins or their lifestyles, a lot of adversity happens to them. So, they think they should get rewarded because they, with a lot of the things they believe that the Lord knows my heart, I'm a good person inside, but yet they're not following the Lord like they should be. These are the same people that go to church, same people that follow Christmas, follow the holy days of America, but yet they have a lack of understanding when it comes to the Bible of why their life is such a turmoil, because just the little things that we do day to day, we provoke the Lord to anger because we're not living according to His word. And we're going to go over some scriptures to show you that even the little things that we do, where you may think it's so minute, we provoke the Lord to anger, and that's where the judgment comes in. So let's go to the first scripture. Let's go to the beginning, Exodus 23 and 21.
The book of Exodus, the 23rd chapter. Verse 21.
So start at verse 20. Sorry.
Book of Exodus, chapter 23, verse 20. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place where I have prepared.
So now here, the Most High showed you in the book of Exodus, this is where we're coming out of Egypt. And the Lord said, behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. So showing you that the Most High was always looking out for us. He was like a father nurturing his children. So he sent an angel before us. And when you read the scriptures and when you see the movies, Christ was that pillar of fire during the night, and was that cloud, the pillar of cloud by day. So Christ was, the Most High allowed Christ to be that protection for us. So read on.
Verse 21. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him.
So showing you there, the Most High already, through Moses, was giving us a warning not to provoke the angel to what? To anger, because he was not going to pardon their sins. And when you read a couple of sins that they were doing, which we'll go into, these people, remember, when you're a child and you ask your father something, you've done your chores or you've got good grades, your father rewarded you. Or your sibling, or whoever your guardian was, they reward you for your good works. It's no different when the Most High chosen us for His own people and said, listen, I have given you a place which I have prepared, a land flowing with milk and honey. If you obey my commandments, it's all yours, no problem. So now, why did he give them a warning? Because we're going to show you the same stubbornness that they had back then as a people is the same stubbornness we have today as a people. Let's go to Exodus 32 and 1.
Exodus, the 32nd chapter, We'll read verse 1. Exodus 32, verse 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him.
Stop. So showing you here, remember, Moses parted the Red Sea. Moses smote a rock and water came out of it. Through the power of the Most High, Moses prayed for the Most High to send them quails from heaven, and they ate meat. You had the manna bread. You had all these miracles. But yeah, when Moses departed for 40 days and 40 nights to receive the commandments, they said, listen, man, he ain't coming back. We don't know where he went. But you know what? We need somebody in his stead. We need another figure, because we don't believe in the Most High. We need something tangible to believe in. So they went to Aaron and said, listen, make us gods of gold. And you're going to read, and Aaron said, read verse 2.
Verse 2. Exodus 32, verse 2. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me.
Verse 3.
And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tube. After he had made it a molten calf, and they said, these be the gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt.
How fast we forget. I call this amnesia, selective amnesia.
Yeah.
A lot of our people have selective amnesia. A lot of people in your job, when you do them favors, they forget when it comes time for them to, do a favor for you. So just like now, the Most High has given us all these blessings, given us all these signs and miracles and wonders, and how suddenly they forgot, showing that they needed something tangible for them to believe in. And they took gold, which they got from the Egyptians, and Aaron made a golden calf. So showing you their lack of faith, because all it goes down to a lack of faith. And because of our lack of faith, we do things to provoke the Most out of anger, and then wonder why we're getting punished. And we're giving you an example here, how what they did, just for 40 days and 40 nights, when Moses was receiving the commandments, they said, what? Listen, man, we need something that we can see, man. Moses left us. They're not believing in the Most High. They said Moses left us. Not knowing that, remember, the Most High through Moses delivered the nation of Israel. So why are they following Moses? Why are they depending on Moses like that? How come they weren't asking the Most High, what happened to Moses? They wasn't inquiring of the Most High what's going on. But we're going to read what happened to them because of their disobedience. Mm-hmm. Read on verse 20.
Exodus 32, verse 20. It reads, and he took the calf which they had made and burnt it in a fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it.
So check that out. Because of their disobedience, it's like, man, back in the days when you got punished, your mother put soap in your mouth and made you drink a bottle of castor oil or something. Moses got so upset, took the golden calf, melted it down, and said, destroyed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink. He's drinking gold, pure gold. Imagine what that does to you. I won't be surprised a lot of people die from that. But that's because of their disobedience that judgment was brought forth. So imagine that. That was back then. So imagine. Let's go to Deuteronomy 4:25. So back then when the people went off, Moses was saying that, listen, man, your children's children, 4:25, he's dead.
Deuteronomy 4, verse 25. When thou shalt begot children and children's children, and ye shall have remained long in the land and shall corrupt yourselves and make a graven image or the likeness of anything and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that ye shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereunto ye go over Jordan to possess it. Ye shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed.
Moses was prophesying it. Even though they went into the land of Israel, when you read further on, Moses already prophesied. This is way before they got there. Moses already said, listen, because of your disobedience, because of your lack of faith, you're still going to provoke the Lord to anger because of our lack of faith. Because why? We still want to build graven images. We still wanted something that we can see and feel and touch and talk to. Because we wasn't satisfied with Moses dealing with the Most High. Because when you read back then, when the Most High said, listen, I'm going to talk to the children of Israel, make sure they get themselves cleansed and prepared, to make sure they stay with their wives for 3 days. And when the Most High came down to talk to them, they were scared. Mm-hmm. They said that the voice of thunder came down from heaven.
Right, thunders and rumblings.
And they got said, listen, Moses, we'll deal with you. Let the Most High not deal with us because we're going to die, lest we die. So showing you there, even back then, when you had that miracle back then, you still did not believe. And Moses prophesied because of your unbelief. What? You're going to corrupt yourselves again and provoke the Lord to anger.
Right.
And the Lord's going to kick you off the land. But you didn't even get there yet.
Right. Yeah. Can I go to the scripture real quick? Because you're bringing it out. How is it relevant today? I don't know if you were going to go there. If I were to go to 1 Corinthians 10?
Yeah.
All right. When you look at 1 Corinthians 10, what the brother was bringing out about the issues concerning how the children would corrupt themselves and bring the Lord's wrath upon them. See, because people seem to think that this Christ that's coming back with judgment is going to be handing out daisies and lollipops. But what he's going to be judging is the people based on their disobedience according to what is written, the commandments, this law, statutes, and commandments, following them with the understanding of Christ. So now when you read something here, I just want to read something. I'll read it. It's 1 Corinthians 10, I'll start at verse 1. It says, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. So now, what he was saying earlier, that angel in Exodus 23, verses 20 and 21 that was coming to deal with us was the pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night. That was Christ, and this is going to bear it out. And this is what Paul is talking about to the Israelites in Corinth. Because the fathers that dealt with this cloud and passed through the sea, that was the Israelites and the genealogy that came to them. The offspring that came through those forefathers is who he's talking to right now. So he's dealing with Israel about how they were dealing in the wilderness. And we just read part of the legacy was what? They were being disobedient.
Right.
And they were bringing the wrath of the Lord upon them. But it says, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So that's proof that that pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night was Christ.
Right.
He was giving us the right spiritual food and drink to sustain ourselves. But because of our disobedience, we got what? Jacked up. Let's read on. It reads this. Verse 5. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. You just looked at something. When Moses came down, the Most High said, get down to this people because I'm about to kill them. He was like, yo, remember the covenant. He says, okay, you deal with them. Moses came down and dealt with them very harshly. He did what? Chopped the calf up, made gold. Then he said, listen, everybody that's want to serve the Lord, follow me. And the ones that said, well, we don't want to follow the Lord, he said, what? Get your swords out and let's kill them.
Right.
And that's what happened.
Right.
Because that was the wrath of the Lord. That wasn't Moses' thing.
Right.
That was the Lord working through Moses.
Right.
That's what we have to understand today. But now, let's deal with some of this, though. It says here, I'm going to read verse 6. It says, now these things were our examples. So to this day, this is the example that we have to understand, that if we do not do what's right in the sight of the Lord, we bring his wrath upon us. And it's not a good thing. It says now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, as our forefathers did back then. We're not supposed to, because that makes us disobedient, and then that brings the wrath of the Lord upon us. Verse 9, and I'll leave it there. It says, neither let us tempt Christ. assure you that that was Christ dealing with them in the wilderness. It says, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Because there was one point in time where they showed a lack of faith. He sent vipers, poisonous serpents upon them, and they smote the people. This is something for our admonition and learning for today, that we have to first figure out what the Lord is commanding us to do and be obedient to it, or else we're going to provoke his anger and wrath upon us. Go ahead.
Right, let me go back right there. Stay there.
Okay.
Because when you read verse 7, it says, neither be idolaters as some of them, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play.
Right.
Because when you read down, Aaron said, listen, now after I made the golden calf, now we're going to hold a feast to the Lord.
Right.
And so because of that, they considered that the God of Israel.
Right.
And said, neither be idolaters, because they were worshiping the golden calf. They said, listen, Israel, this be your God, which I brought you out of the land of Egypt.
Right.
And so he said, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 320,000. Because of that, remember, when the golden calf was destroyed and Moses threw down the tablets, remember, the earth opened up, the people were swallowed in, and then on top of that, he said, whoever's on the Lord's side, like the brother said, people were given a choice. People were given a choice whether they were going to obey the Lord or not.
Right.
And so you had some that obeyed and some that disobeyed. And the ones that disobeyed were put to death by their own family members.
Exactly.
Because that's how zealous we have to be for the commandments. You understand? That's how zealous we have to be for the Lord in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we're going to put our family to death, but when it comes to that point where if we have to choose between family or Most High in Christ, we got to choose the Most High in Christ. We can't put nothing in our way that be a stumbling block.
Right.
You know, whether it be our children, whether it be our job, whether it be your career, whether it be yourself. Because
mm-hmm.
lots of times, you know, it ain't other people, it's yourself that, you know, puts you, that makes you stumble before the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't control your lust and temptation. Just like they couldn't control that lust to fulfill whether that needs to follow something. It wasn't the Most High. It had to be something that was, like I said, tangible, something that you can see. So let's go there. Let's go to Acts 17 and 29 to 30 to show you that. Because a lot of people out here, just like when you got, like he said, when they committed be idolaters, because a lot of people, they walk around with those Jesus pieces on, or they go to church worshiping the white image of Christ, which everybody know now that Christ ain't white.
Mm-hmm.
But letting you know that a lot of people think that they are righteous by getting a Jesus piece, or they say, you know, they say they love God, they write the tattoo on their palms. All that stuff is madness. That's against the commandments.
Right. So can I read one point? Where you want to go? Acts?
Yeah, 17 and
18. All right, I just want to go to one point to Acts, before we go to Acts, because you said something that's very important. You said we got to be zealous like that. And, you know, somebody's like, look at you and go, well, he's talking about we supposed to, you know, be zealous where like they were, where they killed their family members, so on and so forth. Let's take it from the mouth of Christ, though. I'll read it in Matthew 10, verses 37. Christ says something here about the divisions that he would cause. Because that's what scriptures tell you, that Christ was that cornerstone, that people that fell on it, they did what? Break. He was going to cause a division in Israel. Why? Because some were going to believe, and some were not going to believe, like our forefathers we just read about in the wilderness.
Right.
They didn't believe, so guess what? They fell on that stumbling stone, just like today you could fall on that stumbling stone and be destroyed or crushed.
Right.
Here, right here, what he says is, this is the zeal we have to have. Matthew 10, verse 37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So now, like the brother was just bringing up, we have to put the Most High through Christ first. That's the zeal we have to have. If we're not doing that, the anger and wrath of the Lord is going to be upon us.
Right.
That's it, period, in the story. That's why Christ said this. And people can make that seem to mean whatever they want it to mean, but it's talking about exactly what we're dealing with right now.
Right.
Following the Most High in Christ in obedience.
Because when you read verse 34, it tells you that he's come not to send peace on earth, but a sword, meaning division against your family.
Right.
So when he says, listen, if you love father mother more than me, you're not worthy of me. Are you not provoking the Lord to anger? Are you not putting them before Christ, just like they put the golden calf before Christ?
Yeah.
It's all intertwined. It's all the same meaning. You know what I mean? Nothing changes. There's no deep, dark sayings in the scriptures where it goes into dealing with ourselves and the Most High in Christ. It's always you and your problems and the Most High in Christ and how you deal with them.
Right.
You're going to tell, you're going to, because like, let's go to that, which is Matthew 11:38. It talks about learn of me, for I am meek.
Yeah, 28.
11 and 28.
Right, I'll read that. Matthew 11, start at verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Now, let's examine that. Christ said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. The labor and the heavy laden, remember, it's going into our sins. Because we always dealing with something, that, whether it be a lust of women, money, power, you got a lot of people with pedophilia, whatever it may be, you know what I mean? Whatever your lust is, these are we laden with sins. We ourselves are laden with sins. We cannot deliver ourselves. We have to look to Christ for that. So Christ is saying, all you that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Meaning he will give us understanding concerning these sins and how we must overcome them.
Mm-hmm.
It says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. So when you start reading the Bible, applying it, you start. The Most High gives you understanding according to that. So he gives you understanding according to your lust, how you must overcome that. So when you start applying the scriptures, that's why Christ said, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Christ is humble. He ain't gonna go against what the Most High is saying. If you're trying to rehab, you got a crack addict trying to rehab, you can't say, listen, look, the 10-step program, you gotta do this in order to overcome it. Well, I don't believe in the 10-step because I'm gonna do it my way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you wanna overcome it yourself, then you know what I'm saying, why are you here? You know what I mean? You have to go by a proven system. And this system right here is proven. Because you have a lot of brothers in Israel that's repented from being drug dealers, murderers, adulterers, all walks of life. They repented from that sin and stopped sinning. They overcame those sins. You know, we still battle lust, but they what? They became blameless now in the eyes of the Lord because why? They repented in the name of Christ because they stopped doing, they stopped committing sins, those particular sins. So showing you here that's how we overcome, that's how we take those burdens off of us and put it on Christ now, because Christ was the ultimate example of how to overcome sin. He came in the flesh and what? He conquered it.
Mm-hmm.
In the flesh. So there's no excuses for us.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says, and have rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Mm-hmm.
He's showing that the commandments are easy. Because when you read in the first John, was it 5 and 3? Learn that my commandments are not grievous.
Yeah, 1 John 5:3.
Right. My commandments are not grievous.
Mm-hmm.
So showing you that if you want to repent, sincerely repent, apply the scriptures. They're not hard. The only person that makes it hard is yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Showing you it's not a hard thing to do. So let's go to Acts. We're going to show you now how a lot of people think that just by naming the name of the Lord or having a Jesus piece around their neck, which is an idol, makes them righteous.
Mm-hmm.
Acts 17, let's start at verse 29.
Acts 17, verse 29. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's devices.
Didn't we just read that?
Yeah, we just read that.
We just read that, and people thought that the God of Israel was what? Gold and Aaron's broken off, molded into a calf. Showing you here, the Godhead, meaning Christ, is not an image that's something that you can feel and touch, or something that you put around your neck, or you tattoo on your arm, or you have hanging in your house. Mm-hmm.
And the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent.
So now, in the times of our ignorance, just like you had brothers back then, if they were thinking that you had brothers having they had a business, and they were making statues of
Diana,
of Ephesus.
Right.
And they got mad when Paul pulled their car. They said, listen, man, he's going to take our business away. Just like you got those botanicas all over, like in New York and Philadelphia and all that. A lot of our Latin tribe people, they think that the Godhead is some figure or statue that they bring oranges and bread to and pray to the statue thing, and that's going to relieve them or heal them from all type of sickness or burdens or sins or forgive them of sins. You know, the Most High in the statue, he's not in an adamant object.
Right. Right.
The Most High is a living being, a living
right.
power.
His spirit is not an inanimate object.
Right.
His spirit will reside in us if we deal right with his son Christ.
Exactly.
I want to go to a scripture that says that. You continue on.
It says, in the times of his ignorance, meaning in the times we did not know better,
mm-hmm.
the Most High winked at our ignorance, meaning he forgave us.
Mm-hmm.
But now, he says, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent.
Mm.
Because now is the time to repent.
Okay.
Whether you see it or not,
right.
the signs are here. You know, you have so many signs. You have wars and rumors of wars, like Christ said. You have many brothers coming in the name of Christ saying that they are Christ, which are not. So the signs are here, and it's up to us to see that. You know, if you want to repent and stop being ignorant, and you want to keep living in your sins, keep living wickedly, going to these clubs, sleeping with all these women, you know, selling drugs, you know, being a high gun, you know, being angry at your brother, you know what I'm saying, just killing for no reason. Keep being that. Oh, you know what I'm saying? If you want to do that, go right ahead. But remember, you got to pay the price.
Mm-hmm.
Most have given us a chance to repent.
Mm-hmm. Read on, verse 31. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given him assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead.
So showing you there, because he hath appointed the day, you don't know the day. Not even Christ knows the day. It says, in which he will judge the world in righteousness. You ain't going to bribe Christ. You ain't going to, whatever position you have in this world, how much money you have, you're not going to buy your way into the kingdom of heaven. You're not going to say, listen, man, you know, I know such and such, you know, so, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't going to work like that.
Right.
You know, you can't. You gotta either obey the Most High in Christ or be judged through the laws through the Most High in Christ.
Right.
And it says, by that whom he have ordained, meaning Christ, the Most High has ordained Christ to be the ruler, king of our salvation. Like the scriptures say, when you go to, what's the northern name of the heaven, shall you be saved?
Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
No other name. We know his name is not Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
but in our captivity, we understand the language you speak is English.
Right.
So you know him as Jesus Christ, so you know who we're talking about. Whichever name you call him, we're talking about Jesus Christ. And it's showing you here,
the Son of the
Most High.
Exactly.
So showing you here that there is neither salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So showing you, Christ is the only way we're going to be saved out of our trials and tribulations. And during this time now, we're going to overcome that by applying the scriptures. And by applying the scriptures, we commit our works unto death,
mm-hmm.
meaning we stand up for the truth unto death,
mm-hmm.
and we'll be judged by our works.
Mm-hmm.
And whether our good works outweigh the bad, you know what I'm saying? That's up to the Most High and Christ to judge.
Right.
But let us go confidently before the throne, like the scriptures say. We stand in all boldness before Christ because we haven't done all to stand.
Right. Okay, now, one thing that you brought up in Acts 17, and it's a good point. Acts 17, verse 29, it says, for as much then as we are the offspring of God, we are not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's devices. Now, we read in Exodus 32, when Aaron dealt with the children of Israel, they said, Moses is gone. We don't know where he's up. Make us a what? Godhead out of what? Gold, silver.
Right.
So, you said like, what do you say, Botanica? What is it?
Botanica. Botanica.
Where they bring oranges and muffins and fried beans or whatever the hell they do. They bring this stuff and sun of that thing, shrine and light candles and this, that, and the other thing, right? But the thing, and I'm saying, like, okay, how do you equate that? You show a sheer ignorance of the Bible. Just like the Most High and his spirit, through his son, does not dwell in an inanimate object like a golden calf. Today you can't make it dwell in an inanimate object like a statue or anything.
Right.
The Most High is a living, lively spirit that dwells in what? Living beings.
Right.
If you do what is required for him to dwell within.
Right.
John 14. Let's read the scripture here. John 14, verse 21.
Okay.
Right, read that.
John 14:21.
Mm-hmm.
He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him.
Right. So now, the scriptures is telling us that how are we going to learn of Christ? By doing what? His will. Obedience.
Right.
Not disobedience. Because our people think they can be as disobedient as they want to be. Oh, the Lord knows my heart. Oh, well, you know, my father taught me about this botanica and this whatever, to do the berries in the shrine and the whatever,
right?
And light the candles and have the idols and the little saints and this and that, whatever our people are doing, voodoo, whatever. That's what you've been taught. But the scriptures say that you're not supposed to do those things when you look at the commandments through Christ. There is only one God and power of us all, and he's got only one begotten Son,
right?
Period. There's no other way. We can't do it through an inanimate object. We have to have it within us. So part of this is what? Keeping the commandments so that he can make what? Himself known unto us. You can't do it any other way. Read verse 23.
It says, Jesus answered and said unto them, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto him and make our abode with him.
So now, if a man love me, he will do what? Keep my words, meaning keep his commandments. And my Father will love him, and we, the Son and the Father, will come unto him and make our abode with him. What's an abode? It's like a dwelling.
Right.
So they're going to dwell within us if we do what? Follow them through obedience to the understanding of Christ. That's how we accomplish that. There is no other way that you can get the Spirit of the Most High through Christ in any other thing. It has to be in you.
Right.
Not some channel through some cross or some other statue or some other
some
chicken
man.
Head cut off with the blood sprinkled at your toe,
right,
and you're rubbing it on your baby ear or whatever the hell you do. It can't be done that way. It's telling you crystal here the roadmap.
Right.
The way to the Most High, to understand the Most High and deal with him, is through obedience. One more thing. Acts the 5th chapter, verse 32. Read that. Talk about the same thing. You can't do this to an inanimate object. It's got to be in you. Read the scripture.
Acts 5:32.
Right.
And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to them that obey him.
Oh, so we get that spirit, that glue, that makes us on one accord with him and the Father, Christ and the Father, through what? The Holy Spirit that who?
Obey.
He gives us, and only to those that obey him. So now, if you want to come down on the side of obedience to the Most High, you got to follow the blueprint. The blueprint is spelled out in the Bible. You see what happened to them that went into their own knowledge and their own understanding. They ended up dying in the wilderness. And what does the scripture in 1 Corinthians 10 tell us? Let us not tempt Christ the same way, because what? They got destroyed when they did it. All we have to do is understand the obedience, the things that we need to do, the things that we need to change about ourselves, and you can't get understanding through a statue, an idol, or anything like that. What you're going to do is call the Lord's wrath and anger on you, just like our forefathers did.
Right.
Go ahead,
Al. Let's go back to, let's go to first now. We dealt with the objects now. Let's deal with the people.
Right.
A lot of people, so now they went from objects, and we're going to show you the transition from objects, because there was still much of an object going throughout the scripture. We're going to show you how they went from objects to now people.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to 1 Samuel 8 and 5.
1 Samuel 8. Verse 5. And he said unto him, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations.
So let's stop. So when you read up above, Samuel was getting old, and his sons didn't walk in the ways of the Most High. So the elders of Israel came to him and said, listen, man, your sons are not right, you know, so we don't know what we're going to do. Not having faith, there it goes. So they said, listen, man, make us a king.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So now forget about the statue. They need somebody. They need somebody now. They need something, a person. So let's see what the Most High said. Let's go to verse 7.
Hold on. This is the last part, though. So they can be like who? All the other nations.
Right. You always want to be somebody else.
Exactly.
Never want to be who the Most High ordained you to be. His
right.
Chosen, his beloved, the first fruit of the apple of my eye. Y'all want to be like everybody else.
Right.
Let's read verse 7, what the Most High said now. See, See, the reason why we're going to provoke the Lord to anger, because these are things that our people do unconsciously or consciously. Whether it is, you do it either way, you're still going to get judged. That's why we have to stop and think of the things we do. You know, we've got to sit back and meditate and find out if we're living according to the Scriptures.
Right.
And if you're not living according to the Scriptures, like the Scriptures say, I am meek and humble and lowly in spirit.
Right.
Apply Christ.
Right.
Scriptures tell you that Christ is our example that we must follow.
He's the way.
Exactly.
Verse 7. It's 1 Samuel 8, verse 7. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them.
It's showing you right there. The Most High said, all right, that's cool. These people are still walking in unbelief. Showing you that they had no faith in the Most High.
Right.
So they said, what? And the Most High said, what? Listen to what they're saying. Just trust me. If they want a king, I'm going to give them a king. And you're going to read it. When you read during the Old Testament, other than David and Solomon, even Solomon went off. But you had wicked kings that were ruling over the people. And they went off, and they put their trust in man, and they went off, and the Most High rejected them and kicked them off the land. They went back and forth, until what? Until the curse was fulfilled in Deuteronomy 28:16, where the Most High said, you ain't going to see your land no more. In the place where I spoke unto thee, thou shalt see it no more again. And no man shall buy thee. I mean,
right.
No man's going to save us
right.
Until Christ comes back. Because while you have rejected him from being the king, the Most High rejected us from being his people.
Right.
And this is how we come back to the Most High.
Right.
Because no other way. We're not going to get it through Barack Obama. We're not going to get it through our politicians. We're not going to get it through these so-called Israelite leaders out there or these church leaders. Only way we're going to be saved is through Christ. So now let's get to Ecclesiastes 32 and 24.
Ecclesiastes in the Apocrypha, chapter 32, verse
24.
He that believeth in the Lord taketh heed to the commandments, and he that trusteth in him shall fare never the worse.
See? So it says, he that believeth in the Lord taketh heed to the commandments, and he that trusteth in him shall never fare the worse. So we know when you put your trust in the Most High, the Most High is always going to provide you. Remember, when we come into the truth, Scripture tells you in Ecclesiastes the second chapter that prepare thyself for temptation. The Most High challenge, because why? Those that endure to the end are going to inherit an everlasting kingdom. He's not just going to give that to anyone. But showing you that the Most, but if you trust in the Most High, let's go see that one in Psalms that said, I never seen a man begging bread.
Okay.
Like, Psalms. Hold on. 70.
The righteous begging bread?
Yeah, right. You never seen the righteous forsaken or begging bread?
Bear with us for a second.
You know what it is?
No. I got one though that pretty much says the same thing. Because you brought it out in Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter. When you started at verse 29, Deuteronomy 4, you brought out the part that he was 25. Deuteronomy 4, verse 25, when you read, when thou shalt begot children and children's children, and ye shall have remained long in the land, and shall corrupt yourself, and make a graven image or the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord God, to provoke him to anger. So that's what we did in the wilderness, and you just said, we did it to the point through the wicked kings, and when you read the book of Kings, to the point the Babylonians came and totally annihilated us and moved us from off that land. And he said, whither from where I speak to, thou shalt see it no man again, and no man shall buy you out of that condition.
Right.
It started with the Babylonians, but that's the sign and the wonder that's been on our people for what? Ever. And it's only going to be through the return of Christ. But now let's look at something, right? Verse 27. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you. This is provoking the Lord to anger, the result of it.
Right.
What did he do? He caused us to be destroyed and spoiled by the other nations. And now we're what? Scattered all over there, right?
Right.
And then what did it say? What are we going to do? The thing that we weren't supposed to do, but we were doing in the wilderness. And there ye shall serve God, the work of man's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. What did the scripture tell us in Acts 17 chapter? The Godhead is not what? Likened unto what? Graven images, gold, silver, stone, or whatever. But this is the legacy that's going to follow us because of our great rebellion. And now the anger and the wrath of the Lord we provoke him to is upon us because he told us that if we don't do it, this is what's going to happen. Right. Moses is telling us right here. Now, I just want to read something on. But listen, there's the mercy. Verse 29. But if from this thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, because who's going to be the Savior? He just said, neither no other name right. under heaven can we seek salvation. It says, but if from this thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. When thou art in tribulation and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shalt be what? Obedient, not disobedient, not rebellious, unto his voice. So, basically, the same thing he was trying to get us to commit to in the wilderness is the same thing. If we're going to receive salvation from our Lord Jesus Christ, is what we're going to have to do in the end, in the latter days. We're going to have to be obedient unto his voice, meaning what? His word. Christ said, look it, if you follow my words, the Most High and myself will make our abode with you.
Right.
It's not coming through any man work of man's hands that we're immortalizing in our minds as, oh, that is the great thing.
Right.
This is the great religion. This is the great, no, it's the words of the Most High. Even in the latter days, if we continue to do what? Be rebellious and disobedient, we're going to what? We're going to reap the wrath of the Lord and his anger upon us. Because
right.
we're provoking him to it by saying he's nothing. He's likened unto wood and stone.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's the whole point. Go ahead. Huh?
This is a lot of what a lot of our people say.
Mm-hmm.
What a joke. 21 and 14.
Okay.
A lot of our people have that misconception that the Lord is weak. You know, he don't exist. You know what I mean? They believe in whatever they believe in. The Big Bang Theory or theory of evolution. Or we believe in Malachi to York or Allah or whoever. But most read that scripture.
Job where?
21:14.
Job 21:14. Therefore, they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. What is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto him?
So showing you there, this is the mindset of our people today. Because when we come with the scriptures, then back in the day, we used to be out there handing out flyers, teaching in the streets. A lot of people disregarded the word. And so they said, therefore, they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. You may have not said it, but your actions speak louder than words. Because the scriptures already told us that the Most High, he's a man of knowledge and wisdom, and by his ways, actions are ways.
Right.
By him, actions are ways.
Right.
So showing you by your actions, you have people there sitting there agreeing with us, saying, yeah, brother, yeah, you're right. Teach on. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. All right, brother, you know what I'm saying? You want to learn more, you know what I'm saying? Go to the website, come to the school. You know what I mean? It's not that you're doing us any service. We're out there doing the service of the Most High. That's our job, to help the people understand what the will of the Lord is so they can repent from their wicked ways and come and serve him and join the ranks. Come out here and do your job now and teach. You know what I mean? But they say, nah, we don't want to learn the ways of the Most High because why? We want to stay in our wickedness.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, what is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto him? Because a lot of you say that, you know, you're atheists or Gnostics or... When you get in a situation when your life is in danger, who's the first person you call on? Lord, please help me. Lord, please don't let that man kill me. Please don't let... Why are you calling on the Lord when the Most High said, listen, man, because you have rejected me, I have rejected thee.
Mm-hmm.
When times of tribulation come, let's get that in Proverbs real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Showing you with the most, how cold the Most High is. The Most High...
Proverbs what?
Is it chapter 2? Oh, no, hold on. Let's get it. Chapter 1. It says, verse 24, 1 to 24, Proverbs,
chapter 1, verse 24. Because I have called and he refused, I have stretched out my hand.
Start at 22, I'm sorry.
Proverbs 22, 1, 22. Verse 22. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge?
So the Most High is saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? How are people simple? There's many examples. You got the brothers out there selling drugs on their own block where they live at. Talking about, you know, they trying to hustle, make a living. They too lazy to get up like everybody else. The people that want to, you know, live right, work hard, get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, go to work, whether you're getting $8 or $9, still, that's something that you ain't breaking the commandments. You're not being simple. You're working hard. You know what I'm saying? Whatever the Most High bless you in the condition you're in, that's what you got to deal with. Remember, our faith, how can I say, dictates what the Most High is going to give, bless us in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Because what if we say, you know what, whatever condition I'm in now, whatever, I got a, you know, a dead-end job, we'll stay with that. But I know I'm going to work towards a way how to get out of this.
Mm-hmm.
And through faith, the Most High is going to bless me. Mm-hmm. You got a lot of brothers out here that say, how long will you simple ones love simplicity? Because to love what? Vain things? That's simple.
Right.
To love cars, money, paper. Money's paper. Back in the days when you read the scripture, there was no paper money. It was all substance, which is gold. You had
land.
You had goats. You had houses. That stuff is of value. Today, you can't even buy land without having some type of, what do you call it, equity. You have to have something to replace that. Paper, remember, if you look now, paper's diminishing. All these other countries, their money is more valuable than a dollar now. So, Sean, you all these brothers out there, you got all these brothers and women out there whoring themselves for money, for paper, for no reason. That's simple. There's no value in it. There's no salvation in that.
Right.
So the Most High saying, how long you simple ones will you love simplicity? And scorners delight in their scorning. And fools hate knowledge. Because the way you scorn the Bible, how you hate knowledge, you scorn the Bible by making mockery of the Most High's words. By making mockery of the girls out there that are trying to help you. We're not out trying to belittle you. Because you got a lot of girls out there saying, well, you know what I'm saying, if y'all don't come to us, you know what I'm saying, you ain't going to receive no understanding, or we the only ones with the truth. Listen, brother, we were there. We probably did the same thing, but listen, we coming now in the sincerity of the Most High, saying, listen, we don't know everything. Only thing we can do is show you by our actions and by the words of the scriptures, that's how we're justified, is showing you how to love the Most High, how to walk correctly. But how you show your score towards the Most High is by rejecting that, turning your back, or saying, the hell with the Most High, I'm still living my life. Fine. There's no, you know what I'm saying, you have that option.
But that's the wrath of the Lord.
Exactly.
That's provoking him to anger by being what? Disobedient.
Exactly.
How can you be obedient to something you don't even understand or know?
Exactly.
You can't.
At least take time to listen.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Just give us, 5 minutes of your undivided attention. At least sit there and discern for yourself. You know, we're not telling you to follow us. Get your own Bible. Study alone. You know? Read.
Verse 23. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you.
Because now the Most High saying, turn you in my reproof, which is his word. When you go out there, and when you see brothers out there, you got on TV, whatever, on the internet, it says, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. The way you allow that to happen is by you humbling yourself, accepting that, all right, you know what I mean? Whatever I did, or wherever I'm trying to live my life, or wherever I'm trying to get a right state of mind, the only way you're going to get that is through the scriptures. You can't do it no other way. You can't do it through your churches.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it through your job.
Mm-hmm.
You can't make your life better by, all right, I got promoted, you know what I'm saying, I make more money, I'm going to get a bigger house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you increase your lifestyle, your living lifestyle, but did that change the way you think, the way your heart is, the way your mind, how you think, how you look towards other people. When you look at them, like they're inferior, they're stupid, they don't know nothing, because I got all this wealth, this material things, you belittle your people. Listen, man, you know, the Most I ain't dealing with you, because I'm blessed. The Most I bless you with 3 cars, I got this $900,000 house, you know what I'm saying, or I got a fat bank account, or you got material items, whatever. How do you deal with your people? Do you teach them the instructions of the way of the Most High, or do you look at them like there's nothing?
Right. Now, and you know what it says? When we turn at his reproof, what's going to happen? He's going to pour out his spirit unto us.
Make our abode
with us. Right. Well, we said, Christ said, if we love the Most High and keep his words,
right,
that him and the Father will make their abode with us.
Right.
It's not coming through some inanimate object or some idolatrous practice that we develop
or man
that we follow. It's going to come based on our actions and deeds toward the Father.
Right.
This is how it's going to happen. But we have to do what? Turn by his reproof. When he tells us and corrects us, we got to follow it and be obedient. Go ahead.
Right. Like the Most High said, thou shalt not murder. If you out there selling drugs or you a hitman for hire or you out there gangbanging, that should hit you. That should be like, man, the Most High said it. Now, why? Because what you're doing is you're killing your own brothers and sisters. I'm pretty sure you see the other shows where we go into the curses of our people. When you read one of the curses, you were sold in New York, Virginia, all throughout the East Coast of America, in slavery. So now you have families that were separated and went to other states. Now you gangbanging, so how do you know you ain't killing your brother and sister? How do you know that? You out there showing hatred, you know what I'm saying, because you repping one click, I'm repping over here, I'm repping this. That's simplicity.
Exactly.
That's simple.
Right.
How do I know if I'm out there, whether I be light-skinned or black, Puerto Rican or whatever, and if I'm gangbanging, I'm out there killing my people for no reason because you ain't getting nothing out of it. It's not like you getting a reward or a statue at the end of it.
You're getting a rep.
Yeah, you're getting a rep. The rep you get, the more the cops are going to look at you.
Right.
You know, but now you're doing that. That's simple.
Right.
How do you know you're not killing your brother or sister or you pimping your brother or your sister? You out there whoring these women out there for drugs so you can get more money. How you know you're not doing that to your sister? These are the things you got to be considerate of, man. You got to sit back and turn you as a reproof.
Right.
That's why the Most High said that. Stop loving simplicity.
Right.
Because how do you know you're not doing these things? These things are serious. These things are what? We live in the curse.
Right.
So how can you say it's not real?
Right. Read on?
Yeah, read on.
Verse 24. Proverbs 1, verse 24. Because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof.
You have set at naught all the Most High counsel. The counsel going into the scriptures. Any way you cut it, whether you Christ, Old Testament, Christ is the whole Bible. When Christ came speaking how to overcome temptation and lust, like one example is when Satan tempted Christ. What did he quote? He quoted the scriptures. So just like now, the way you turn at the reproof is when you're going through trials and tribulations and sin comes upon you, quote the scriptures and apply it. Christ didn't quote the scriptures and say, I might as well, because I am hungry. We turn that rock into bread.
Exactly.
He didn't do that. He stood firm. He said, listen, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Most High. And that was it. And he stood firm in that. He didn't tell, he didn't waver, he didn't go left or right, like, I don't know, I am hungry, I'm getting kind of busy. Nah, he didn't do that. He stood firm. Read.
Verse 26. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh.
So now, when you put in a situation where you're provoking the Lord to anger, whether it be selling drugs or you out, because a lot of brothers are getting hit to selling, they're not selling drugs no more. What, they get into the pimping game now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of brothers are like, I don't want to get caught with the product on me, so I'm going to have a walking product.
Exactly.
I'm going to manipulate a feeble-minded, a young, simple girl's mind, saying that, I can get you this, me and you do it together. However you want to say, however y'all do it, and you're going to manipulate this woman into doing your will, which is not the will of the Lord, because you're abusing this woman to get you money. The Most I said, when you get caught out there, or when cash catch you because you stole it, like, I know y'all seen that, those documentaries, Hoes on Hunts Point and all that stuff, and it was like, sometimes I can't talk to this dude because my man might slap me if I see you talking to another pimp, whatever. that thing is foolish, man.
It's simple.
It's simple as hell.
Right.
You know what I mean? So y'all get into beefs over that, over
right.
women, and y'all wind up killing each other. And you, like, what's that movie, what's the movie, the one that came out, Medicine Society?
Yeah.
Remember, he was gangbanging through the whole movie. And in the end, when he got shot, he said, man, I never thought about it, but I want to live.
Right.
After he was already shot.
Yeah.
So just like now, I'm pretty sure brothers went through that here. I'm pretty sure whatever last time y'all went through, y'all got shot like, damn, y'all called upon the Most High, but y'all still in simplicity
right. Because
you have not turned out the recruit.
Right.
Maybe you never heard us before, but maybe now's your time to change.
Right. Can I bring out something?
Right.
When you talk about the simplicity of it and then how turning the turning that to reproof. But what is it that we use to turn, and what do we use to reprove ourselves?
Right.
I'll read something here to get us from a simple state to a wise state. I'll read it, Psalms 19, verse 7. Psalms, the 19th chapter, verse 7. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So the scriptures is telling us that the law of the Lord is perfect. It is what restores us. It's reproving us back in the way that we should go to avoid provoking the Lord to anger.
Right.
Because his anger is not good because it's perfect. He has a little upset moment when you check the scriptures, and he was so vexed at the creation, he flooded it.
Right.
This is, and no one could escape. He says in the end, he's going to do what?
Purge
it with fire. Because it's the same Lord that's following the what design of the Father that's doing these things.
Right.
This is what we want to avoid. And to get from that simple state, like instead of loving simplicity, we have to love the Most High and follow his word. That's why it says his testimony, meaning his word, makes us go from a simple state to a wise state. But it's got to be based on something. Based on what? The Lord. Like you said, Christ said, it is written. Devil, Satan, I'm not going to turn these rocks to bread. Because it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Most High. Why? Because Christ knew, like we should get an understanding, that there's a carnal component to life and a spiritual component to life. And we sustain life eternal through the spiritual component. That's why these words are so important to what? Follow and be obedient to, because what? If we're doing that, we're getting blessings, not curses.
Go ahead. Now, let's end it off with this one scripture. Uh-huh. Let's go to Hebrews, the second chapter.
Right.
We're going to end it off with this, brother, because we ran out of time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hopefully, we have more time to edify more, but go to the website, bodyofchristchurch.com. So now we're going to end off with this one scripture. Lord willing, brothers that want to repent and those that are sincere, brothers and sisters, check this scripture out.
Yeah.
Two and one.
Hebrews, the second chapter. Verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip.
So the words that you heard today are out of the Bible. They're not my words and not this brother's words.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't make this up.
Mm-hmm.
You can get a Bible, read it for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It said, we should therefore give the more earnest heed to the things which you have heard, because the things you heard out of the scripture is pertaining to salvation,
mm-hmm.
not to destruction.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, lest at any time we should let them slip. So when you go out your house, and you're put in positions or situations where you might sin or have temptation, remember the commandments.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Get Hebrews 2 and 2.
All right. Hebrews 2, verse 2. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?
Yeah, I showed you there. The words are spoken, it said, but the word spoken by angels was steadfast, meaning was sure. Because you had angels delivering the word unto the men, unto the prophets.
Right.
So showing you there, if it was steadfast, meaning sure, it wasn't movable. You can't gainsay the Bible.
Right.
It says that every transgression or disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Just like we went through many examples, and you can go through the examples yourself. When you read throughout the whole Bible. So the men that committed wicked acts and transgressions, they always got a reward for that.
Mm-hmm.
No one escaped unpunished.
Right.
And it says, how should we escape, meaning us, if we neglect so great a salvation,
mm-hmm.
which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, meaning Christ, because remember, Christ is the Bible.
Right.
So he was speaking to us through the prophets and
mm-hmm.
through the angels,
mm-hmm.
and said, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, meaning the prophets.
Mm-hmm.
So now, just like then, you have, just like back then, they were with Christ, and they heard it through his mouth,
mm-hmm.
and they wrote it down for us to understand, just like now. We hear it through the same people.
Stay tuned. We will continue the show after a short break with brief announcements. Thank you.
The Body of Christ Church Radio Network broadcasts 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC. listen to our archive broadcast, or check us out while we are live on the air. Come and visit us in the virtual living room at 2 o'clock p.m. on Sundays, where we examine current topics according to the scriptures. Are you looking for the truth? Can you handle the truth? Find out on Mondays at 8 o'clock p.m. It doesn't matter what church you attend or philosophy you believe, take the challenge to see, are you smarter than your pastor, on Tuesdays at 8 o'clock p.m. The world is engrossed in darkness, but it shall be destroyed by the light. Check out From Darkness to Light at 7 o'clock p.m. on Wednesdays, where all manner of witchcraft, occult practices, and Satanism is exposed for what it is. Before the light comes, it's time to awake on Thursday at 8 o'clock p.m. If you are seeking salvation, listen to Repentance is the Key, Fridays at 7 o'clock p.m. And after you've listened to all of these shows, find out how we will become kings and priests, Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock a.m. All shows are on Eastern Standard Time. Remember to check out The Body of Christ Church 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC. That's blogtalkradio.com/THEBOCC. Shalom. Connect with the Body of Christ Church on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. You can like our Facebook page at facebook.com/theBOCC. Follow us on Twitter at theBOCC. And view our videos on youtube.com/theBOCC1. Link with us to learn more about repentance and salvation according to the Holy Bible. Remember what Christ said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." We pray that the information on our pages guide you towards true repentance to the Heavenly Father in the name of Christ. Shalom.
In your mind, according to as it is written.
Right, exactly. Okay. So let's go to 1 Peter 4.
Okay.
Verse
1 Peter 4, verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
So when we speak, we have to speak according to as it is written, according to the Spirit of the Most High through Christ, that the word through Christ is the word that is preached, and that we not preach anything other than. Mm-hmm. And this is what we have to get an understanding of when we're dealing with thus saith the Lord. What we're going to do today.
I was just going to say one thing.
Go ahead.
And it says, according to the ability which God giveth,
mm-hmm.
that means you have to have the ability. With, if you teaching or saying something according to the scriptures, and somebody else comes out with a better understanding that God gave them,
right.
you have to have the humility to step back and
right.
let them say something.
Exactly. So now, when we look at this word, we have to deal with the word as it is written. We have to live according to it, and we have to deal with it, teach it, and profess the understanding of the Most High. As it is written. And what we're going to do now is we're going to go into a subject matter of pure having a pure mind in God. That's what we're going to deal with. And basically what we're going to deal with is based on what the scripture is saying. So go to Ephesians 4 real quick.
Okay.
Start at verse 22.
Ephesians 4:22.
Right.
That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust.
Mm-hmm.
So corrupt is the opposite of pure.
Right. Exactly.
Okay, so we got to put that off.
Right.
And verse 23, mm-hmm. and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on that new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness.
So now when you read this, it says that the brother brought out that we're supposed to deal with the conversation, meaning the lifestyle of the old man, which is corrupt. We're supposed to put that off, right? Corruption is the what? Opposite of
purity.
Purity. It says, what causes that corruption, according to the scriptures, is deceitful lust, meaning us going into our own desires based on what we feel and think and what we think is good for us and how we feel about a situation. That's deceitful. Why? Because you can feel good about dealing with this woman and she makes you feel good and you like the way she looks, but she's married to another man.
Yeah.
So that's why you can't go based on your feelings and what you think.
Yeah.
What you have to do is go based on thus saith the Lord. So she could make you feel like that. What you have to do is you have to dead those feelings because what? That is a relationship that the Most High said that we are not to enter in. That is adultery. So that's thus saith the Lord. That's why we have to get rid of our deceitful lusts or desires.
That those lusts are deceitful because they feel so good.
Right.
They will trick you
right
into going against what the Lord says.
Exactly. That's just one example. It could be drug dealing. It could be drug using. It could be
murder.
It could be a whole lot of things.
Other religions.
Where your mind has convinced you, your mind has convinced you that it's okay or it's good or I like this. But it's against the contrary to the commandments. Mm-hmm. We have to put those things off. And it says what? And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. This is where the purification comes in. How do we do that? How do we accomplish that? We're going to go through the scriptures. Why? Because when you become renewed or purified in your mind, what happens? The next verse, verse 24, and that ye put on the new man. You start to what? Raise and live in the new man. Which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, you cannot accomplish putting on a new man without first addressing the deceitful lust in your mind, which causes what? Corruption.
Exactly.
So corruption has to be conquered and replaced with what? Purity.
Yep.
All right? So now let's get an indication real quick on what, right to the point, what makes us pure in our minds. Go to Proverbs 30 and let's read verse 5.
Okay, Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5.
Right.
Every word of God is pure.
Mm-hmm.
He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him.
Why? The shield is what? It protects you against those fiery darts from who? Satan.
Yeah.
As it tells us in Ephesians, the 6th chapter.
Yeah.
But we cannot do that unless we're fixated on that which is pure. What is pure? Every word.
Now, every word.
Can we subtract or add?
Does that include the law?
It includes the laws, testimonies, and the commandments through Christ.
Okay.
Because now Christ came and what? Purified us in all things.
Yeah.
But that's the point. He didn't take it out the way. He showed us how to observe it, how to get our minds ready for it. That's why Ephesians 4 is saying what it's saying about being renewed in your mind that you can fight against the deceitful lust and that you can start to be what? In the image of the way the Most High created us from the beginning. He made us in his image. The Most High is not corrupt in his mind, is he? The Most High is pure in his mind.
Yep.
That's why the words that come out of his mouth are what?
Pure.
Pure. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. So what do you got going on in the world today? People aren't purifying their minds because mostly what they're doing is putting their trust in who? Men.
Yep.
My pastor said, or my religious guru said, or my imam said, or minister this said this.
Or musical artist said.
The black Muslim leader said this, or this and that. Or my professor said.
It was this way in the movie.
My science teacher gave me the knowledge. I wrote a book. I did the research. I studied.
I'm an expert.
Those words are not pure.
Exactly.
The Most High's words are what? Pure. So how can you, a mere man, purify yourself of your own volition or will? You can't.
You have to submit yourself to a standard of purity.
Exactly.
And the scriptures say every word of God is pure. So unless you're submitting yourself to that standard of purity, you're not going to be pure.
Exactly. And that's the thing that we must understand. See, the baptism that Christ was coming with the baptism of what? Mind purification.
Mm-hmm.
See, people still doing what? Dunking themselves in water. It's like the sick joke. You go into church, a homosexual, you get dunked in water in that Baptist church or Pentecostal church or whatever. You leave what? A wet homosexual. Because what? The scriptures have not been relayed to you in such a way where you have to understand, you have to fight those lusts.
Exactly.
That mind has to be cleansed, not the body. So the purification of the mind is what is paramount into you being pure in the sight of the Most High. Let's prove it even further.
Yeah, go into that scripture, but it's not a joke anymore because a homosexual man already recently, I think it was about a year ago, went to a church, got baptized, and he still had homosexual lust, and he sued the church.
Because the baptism didn't work.
Yeah.
But see, it's not about that kind of baptism. The
exactly.
baptism is you cleaning your mind.
Exactly.
How do you get a murderer to stop murdering?
The murderer has to submit to the commandment, thou shalt not kill. Or as Christ said it, don't even hate your brother without a cause.
In your heart.
In your mind. Yep. And he has to go along according to that. Then he won't be a murderer.
Exactly. Now, if he's following that, that's the purification that has already taken place. Because he's taking heed and humbling down to what? The pure words of the Father. Because now, when Christ said it, where did he get his words from? John 17:8. Right?
Every word, you gave me the words, and I gave them to those that you told me to give them to.
Exactly.
Because they're your words.
Exactly.
And they're pure.
And they're pure. Every word of God is pure.
Yep.
So Christ didn't come changing it up. But mm-hmm. people say yes.
Yep.
So now, this purification of the mind is a challenge for us. Why? Because we have to examine ourselves and measure ourselves up to what? Mm-hmm. The word, this purity
exactly.
standard.
Yep.
Like you said, you have to have a standard of purity.
Yep.
The standard of purity is the word of the Most High. So how do we cleanse or purify our minds? By checking ourselves against what? The word of the Most High. Let's not get it twisted.
Mm-hmm.
We're not defective. Most of us are not mentally defective, where our bodies does things that our mind doesn't co-sign. Our bodies and our actions are based on what our mind co-signs for us to do. So now, if you check your mind and get your mind set on righteousness according to thus saith the Lord, what is your body going to do?
It's going to submit.
It's going to follow what? Righteousness.
It's going to follow what your mind tells
exactly.
you.
Exactly. So it ain't none of this, the devil made me do it. Remember that thing in the
Yeah, Flip Wilson.
Yeah, the devil made me do it.
Yeah.
I don't know what came over me. I just snapped.
Yeah.
No, what came over you was already was in you, wickedness. That's what made you do that.
Yeah.
Because the scriptures tell you, not what go in,
but
a
what
man,
comes out.
But what comes out. What the type of things he was talking about coming out in Matthew
15. All types of sin.
Wickedness, murdering, theft, covetousness, all things that register in your mind that cause you to do wickedness in the sight of the Most High, that's what defiles you. So we have to purify our minds of those things. And a lot of it is that they're not going to go away because Paul prayed that these thorns in the flesh will go away, right?
But the Most High said, listen, my grace, Christ dying
exactly.
for you, is good enough. It's sufficient for you. Your battle is what you have to deal with.
Exactly. So you got to control what? Those deceitful
and
lusts.
Yourself.
And do right.
Yeah.
Basically, it's a war against yourself.
Yeah.
And that war is what? In the mind.
Yep.
So now, go to Hebrews 10. Let's read verse 22. About the purification. Go ahead.
Hebrews 10, verse 22.
Mm-hmm.
Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water.
Now, it's just, we said it with a lot of words, but it's so perfect how the Most High says it concise with few words.
Yes.
He said, let us draw near with a what? Heart and full assurance of faith.
True heart and full assurance of faith.
That's the faith of who?
Christ.
Exactly. Why? Because he was bringing us the what? Pure words of the Father. Because every word of the Father is what? Pure.
Exactly.
Christ said in John 17:8, you gave me, Father, the words to give to them.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So now, We have to have what? Assurance in that. Be confident in it. Be grounded in it. That is our foundation. Right? It says having our what? Hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. What was sprinkling our hearts?
The word.
The word.
The mission
through faith.
The word.
Exactly.
So it tells you in your heart that beats in your chest cannot have an evil conscience.
Exactly.
It is your mind that has an evil conscience.
Right.
Ephesians 4:22.
Exactly.
The corrupt has to be replaced with the pure.
Now, what if you do what? Sprinkle your mind and you leave in an evil conscience, your body is automatically going to be what? Purified.
Yeah.
Why? Because you're not going to be committing evil acts, because the body does not do things contrary to the mind.
Yep.
So it's a matter of mind over body control.
Yep.
That's what it is. But the mind has to be controlled, not with what you think and feel, but it has to be controlled by what thus saith the Lord.
Yep.
All right?
Yep.
Let's go on through it further.
And that's why it said, and our bodies washed with pure water.
Exactly.
Pure water is the purity of every word of God.
Exactly.
Because your mind is going to submit and your body is going to follow.
Exactly.
Yep.
This is what we have to get an understanding of.
Okay.
I'll read it. Psalms 119, verse 9. Psalms 119, verse 9. It says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Purity of mind is cleansing.
Yep.
Same thing,
yep.
Hand in hand.
Yep.
Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Shall he go dunk himself in the water at the Baptist church, the first Ebenezer Baptist church? No.
There's many names of
exactly.
many churches and many philosophies.
Exactly.
Many, many, many.
I'll read it again. Psalms 119 and 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Question. Answer. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. So by taking heed thereto according to thy word is how a man cleanses himself, man or woman. How you cleanse or purify yourself is by doing thus saith the Lord, by taking heed to thy word. Why? We read it. Saw Proverbs 30 and 5.
Yep.
Every word of the Most High is pure. So the scriptures are saying the same thing, what?
Over and over again.
So now, how do you purify yourself or cleanse yourself? By what?
Taking heed thereto according to thy word.
Right. So that's real simple. So now, if a dope dealer wants to know what it is he needs to do to get right with the Heavenly Father, what does he need to do? Check with the local pastor?
No. Open up the Bible that's probably in that nightstand in the hotel room when he's doing his little download creep thing, and just read the Bible.
Exactly. So now, it's okay if you check with a pastor, someone that's learned of the word, but if they giving you anything other than thus saith the Lord, you got to drop them like you would drop a bad habit.
If you come away from them, now if you're a drug dealer and you want to get right with the Lord, if you come away from them feeling good,
mm-hmm.
our deceitful lust will trick you because you feel
right.
so good. It feels like if you come away from them feeling good
about drug dealing
and about what you're doing, then it's probably not according to the word.
Exactly.
If you come away from that man, or it might be a woman you ask, you know, if they tell you according to the scriptures that, listen, you got to stop that. Extortioner is not going to make it to the kingdom.
Right.
Murderer is not going to make it to the kingdom. Having hatred for your brothers and sisters, treating them like a piece of caca or whatever, and you're not going to get into the kingdom. And, you, of course, that's what you like to do as
right.
a dope dealer.
Right.
You're going to feel bad about that
right.
because you got to fix yourself.
Right.
Then that's more according to the word.
Right. It's like we have to press like a reset button, like on an electrical appliance.
Yeah.
We have to restart and reset ourselves and start all over
mm-hmm.
again.
Exactly.
With the what? Right now, it's because we have to get our minds fixated on the pure word
mm-hmm.
of the Father. Therefore, that's how we purify ourselves. Right.
Yeah.
So now, it says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Right?
Yeah.
So now, let's understand this first, really
mm-hmm.
quick.
Yeah.
There's going to be a cleansing one way or another. You know, that's the whole point. Why? Because this world is corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
What is corruption? The opposite or in opposition with purity. right?
Yep.
So before the kingdom is established, there's going to be a cleansing. Either you can go into the cleansing that will what?
Save
be
you.
More helpful
save
to you,
yep.
Or you can be cleansed through what? Destruction.
Yep.
And let's read what I just said
yep.
in the scriptures, Matthew 3:11. You get that, and I'll get 2 Peter.
Okay. Matthew 3.
Let's read verse 11.
Verse 11. Mm-hmm. I indeed baptize with water unto repentance. This is John the Baptist speaking.
Mm-hmm.
But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire.
What is the word baptism?
Baptism means cleansing.
Right. Purification, sanctification.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So now, we can either deal with the what? Purification through Christ,
mm-hmm.
or we can deal with
fire.
The destruction through Christ.
Yeah.
And I'll read it. That's what Matthew 3:11 was saying. Uh-huh. We have to be cleansed through the word if we're going to have faith. Remember the scripture says, have a true heart and full assurance of faith,
yep.
and sprinkling our hearts from an evil conscience.
Yeah.
That's the understanding that we just read John the Baptist was talking about Christ came to do.
Yeah.
With us all.
Yeah.
That's why Paul was writing it into an open letter to the what? Hebrews.
Yeah.
But now, let's read about the other cleansing that's going to come.
Good.
2 Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up.
All the corruptness.
Exactly. That's another cleansing mechanism, fire.
Yep.
You have what? Spiritual water cleansing. And you have what? The fire cleansing in the end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people want to go off and say, oh, that's the nuclear apocalypse. I don't give a darn about all that. We know it's going to happen, though.
Yep.
However the Most High brings it,
yep.
it's going to happen. So be assured that that day is going to come, and it's like a thief. You don't know when a thief is coming to steal, or he wouldn't be a good thief.
Yep.
He'd be a defendant.
Exactly.
So this is the thing. You don't know. No one knows. We have to be prepared. How do we prepare ourselves? By purifying our mind.
Mm-hmm.
What is the mechanism that we use to purify ourselves with? The word.
Yep.
Because every word of God is pure. Read that scripture again, please. Proverbs 30:5. Yeah. Now, we have to be prepared for this because what? The day is going to come, and if we're not purified, we're going to be what? Burned up with the works therein. That's what the scriptures say, thus saith the Lord. Read that scripture, bro.
Proverbs 30:5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him.
So now, the purification comes through what? Dealing with the word of the Most High through Christ. Because that is where the purity comes from. If we apply the things that Christ was showing us according to the word, we therefore become what? Pure.
Yep.
That's what we have to understand. And you know what? It's a constant daily battle and routine.
Yep.
And no one knows. You can't say, well, I'm pious. I'm pure. You can't say that because you don't know. You have to keep walking and exercising yourself in this word until what? You close your eyes and give it the ghost or the destruction comes.
Yep.
And then the Most High will judge whether or not you were pure enough.
Exactly. If you're thinking that you're already set, you got it made,
mm-hmm.
you're pure, you're pious, you're holy, you're righteous, then Christ didn't come for you because
exactly.
he said he didn't come for the righteous, he came for the sinners. So if you're thinking you got it all set, you're perfect,
right.
then you just made your first fault
exactly.
right there.
Right. Let me read what I said in 1 Peter 4. I'm going to read verse 17.
Okay.
It says, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? So this is what the scripture is showing us, that the righteous what?
Scarcely
be saved.
Because
yep. this is a continual fight until what? The end.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yep.
what we have to understand.
Yep.
And judgment is going to come, like a thief in the night, as we read in 2 Peter 3.
Yep.
But it's going to come. We can guarantee that. If you want to get deep and talk about the nuclear apocalypse and all this other madness, you go right ahead.
Yeah.
But we know, however it comes, it's coming.
Yep.
Just as sure as you get old one day, a day older every time you
wake
into
up
a new day.
Yeah, wake up in the
you're
morning.
You're one
day
older. Just as sure as that is, guess what? That is coming.
Yeah.
But now, we have to understand how we avoid the what? Harsh judgment and destruction in the cleansing, because now Christ gave us a what? Way out of that, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
By what? Baptizing us with the Spirit and the what? Holy Ghost. What is he talking about? Go to John 15:3. Let's look at what Christ's understanding of baptism was. Or purity, or getting our minds cleansed. What was it about? Is it anything different than what we read in Proverbs 30:5? Every word is pure. Every word of God is pure.
That's me.
Exactly. Let's see it. Read.
John 15:3.
Mm.
Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you.
No, now ye are clean because I spoke words and dunked you in water. You can't find nowhere in the scriptures where Christ was dunking somebody in water, because he knew the baptism or the cleansing or the purity he was bringing had nothing to do with carnal things. It had all to do with the spiritual thing. That's what? Our mind connecting to this word, which is spiritual.
Exactly.
The pure word of God, not the corrupted one. Because there's plenty of corrupted philosophies in the earth.
Yeah.
But the pure word is according to what is written in the scripture. That's what Christ was dealing with. He said, what? Now ye are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. Right? Yeah.
Which
but
were
now,
the words of God.
Exactly, because in John 17:8, he confesses that the words that I gave to them is the words you gave
me,
Father.
Yep.
So now, let's look at another one of his points about this purification and purity of mind. Go to John 17:17.
Okay. John 17:17.
Hmm.
Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth.
So now the sanctification, purification, cleansing was going to come through what? Dunking in water?
No.
The word.
The word.
So our people have to get wholeheartedly on the word, not the words that they pick and choose. Every word of God is what?
Pure.
So you got to go and discern what is right according to thus saith the Lord, according as it is written of the Father.
Yep.
That's what you have to get. And it don't tell you that things like they do today, it's okay to eat swine's flesh because of this and this and that. That's not the true, pure word of the Father.
That's the corrupt thoughts coming out of a man saying that it's okay to eat pork.
Right. It ain't okay to eat pork, just like it's not okay to kill, just like it's not okay to commit adultery, just like it's not okay to be a homosexual, just like it's not okay to be a thief, just like it's not okay to be any wicked or profane person which the scriptures describe such. That's what we have to get an understanding of. All right? So now, let's go to Proverbs 2. We're going to wrap it up with Proverbs 2, verse 1 through 6, real quick.
Okay.
Got like a minute. Just want you to read that.
Proverbs 2.
So start at 1 and read on down.
Proverbs 2, chapter 1, verse 2. Excuse me. Proverbs 2, chapter 1.
No,
in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1,
right.
Excuse me with the dyslexia there. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifteth up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God? For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding.
So when we take heed to the Most High at his word and deal with his son Christ, this is how we're going to come to a full understanding, and we're going to be endued with the wisdom from on high. Having said that, we give all praises to the Most High in Christ, and we say shalom.
Body me.
of Christ Repentance Network, www.thebocc.com.